All right, Rabosai, good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Kuf Chaf Beis 122. We are picking up on Kuf Chaf Alfon Beis 121a, and we are picking up three, six lines up from the bottom. Bo'eminei Rabbi Zira Merav Sheshes. Actually, I think a little bit above that, actually. No, we're picking up two, four, six, yeah, eight lines up from the bottom. By Rabbi Elazar, Shav Daras Ba Mahu. So, if you remember, again, we were dealing with yesterday the interesting idea that Halacha L'maisa, when you shecht an animal, even if it does not go ahead and render it fit for consumption, transforms it into ochel. Once it transforms it into ochel, then what's the halacha? It is mekabel tumas ochlin. So the Gemara says, well, now that that's true, by Rabbi Elazar, shaba daras b'mau. People say, what happens if you perform an invalid shechita? Shihia, drasa, all the psalm that we learned about earlier, shia means you pause in between the two simanim, right, or you pause in the simon itself. Daras, you push the knife in. So what happens if you do these things while shechting? Does that ultimately, again, does that prevent the food, prevent the meat from being mekabel tumas ochlin? Ultimately, again, in order to transform this animal into food, it requires proper shechita like a behemoth tahora. We'll say even the inspection of the knife. In order to be transformed into ochel, it has to be shechted with an appropriate knife. Even the knife has to be checked. So we'll say if the knife has to be checked, certainly the other halachos of shechita must be adhered to as well. What's another interesting case? What happens if something is swallowed by this animal that and you shecht the animal? So the shaila is, let's say, here's the following case. The non-kosher animal walks into a house. The house has a corpse inside of it, right? The animal goes ahead, before it walked into the corpse, swallowed my ring. So now the ring is inside of the animal, which is alive, inside of the head, inside of the house, with the corpse. Okay, fine. We'll say now what happens. I shecht that animal, in this non-kosher animal, inside of the house. So what's the shaila? The shaila is, can the carcass of the animal serve as a barrier to the ring to prevent the ring from contracting tumas ohel? Okay, so that's the shaila. Shemash tatz ablu shabasocha. Amrlei, metama tumas ochlin umatzelis. And here's the problem. We just got finished saying that if you do a proper shechita, ultimately, again, on a non-kosher animal, so what's the halacha? It's metame tumas ochlin. If it's metame tumas ochlin, that means that it's meat. If it's meat, right, then that means, ultimately, again, it cannot protect against anything inside of it becoming tuma. But on the other hand, we said that I will say, at least while the animal is mefarchis, at least while it is convulsing, it is not mekabel tumas nevelos, which means that after it's shechted, before it stops convulsing, it's still in that state that we saw according to Chizkiya of being quasi-alive. If it's quasi-alive, then it should protect against tuma. Rabbi, what's that? Locha, eina matzelas ala blum shebesocha. Ultimately, again, the animal does not protect, the ring is swallowed up inside of it from becoming tummy. Why? Daha metame tumas ochlin. Because we will say, since that animal is mekabel tumas ochlin, that means that what? It is dead. Once it is dead, it can no longer serve as a barrier between the ring and the oil of the mace, and therefore the ring becomes tameh. Amar, so the Gemara says, however, v'harov a'chayiv. If one were to sodomize this animal, they would be chayiv. So we'll say, it's an interesting case, which is, you shecht the animal, it's still convulsing, and someone sodomizes that animal. So we'll say, so the halacha is, ultimately, again, you're chayiv for bestiality in that case, right? That's still called even meaning. Just to qualify, this is an important point, which is the isser of bestiality is only on a live animal, not on a dead animal, which makes sense because a dead animal is meat. It's not an animal. And therefore, again, there's no isser of bestiality. So it's one of these interesting situations here where although when you shecht it, it is already ochel, but yet while it's still mefarcheses, while it's still convulsing, it's alive enough that if one were to engage in bestiality, one would be chayiv for that. Because what's at the end of the day, it's not dead. Why is he not dead? Because halacha l'maisa, because halacha lemaisa, it's still convulsing. So we'll say, what you begin to see, by the way, something very interesting, which is, we kind of go back and forth on this dead, alive, in the middle category. Because yesterday, at least when it comes to consumption, one thing is clear, which is what? As soon as you shech that animal, right, it's dead. Right? It's dead. You can eat it. Now again, we submit Rabbana, we don't eat it while it convulses, lest one go ahead and confuse it with Eivar Min HaChai. I will say, Milk pointed out to me yesterday after davening. I remember, again, this issue over here was one of the terrible misunderstandings between Yosef and his brothers. Right? Yosef saw his brothers eating meat from an animal which was moving. He thought it was Eivar Min HaChai. It wasn't Eivar Min HaChai, it was Mifar Chesas. The animal was convulsing after death. So yesterday it appeared that we rejected this idea of Chizkiyah of like three states, alive, dead, and something in the middle. Yet we see by other situations, halacha lemaisa, we do accept it, right? Because, for example, when it comes to bestiality, apparently if one has relations with him, if one engages the bestiality with the animal, which has been shechted but is still convulsing, you are chayif for that. Why? Because since when it's convulsing, it's not metame tumas nevela, therefore it's not totally dead, because that's not totally chayif. So it seems to be that we kind of shift these categories a little bit in a case-by-case situation. Good. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ha'Allah. So let's remember again, Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah said that the Allah, what happened with the Allah? Rabbi Yehuda says, Allah HaMechunas, if you have collected Allah, Im Yishpo Kizayis Makom Echad Chayiv Allah. If there's a Kizayis of Allah in one place, ultimately, again, you'll be Chayiv for the Allah. You'll be Chayiv Tumas Nevela. Both says, remember again, yesterday's daf we saw, Machlokes, what is Allah? Right? Martika, or, but we're gonna skip that for now. Allah essentially means flesh, basar, that was kind of taken off together with the hide. Normally it's insignificant. Rabbi Yehuda says that there's a kizayis collected in one place, halacha lemaisa, it is will be makabel tumas nevela. Says the Gemara, Amravuna, v'hu shekinsu, that's only if you actively collected it into one place. Amravuna, shnei chatzayis yesim sheyeshna gabi ha'ar, if you have two half a kizayisim of alol on two different parts of the flesh, on two different parts of the hide, ha'ar mevatlon. Ultimately, again, they become bottled to the hide. Top of Kuf Chaf Beis. So we'll say, so this is a very interesting case. So if you have two half kizesim on the hide, they don't combine. They don't combine. If they're not actively pushed together. Why? Because each half a kizais is looked at on its own and ultimately bottled to the hide. Top of Kuf Chaf Beis. Aliba Deman. Whose opinion does this reflect? Rabbi Yishmael. So we'll say, if it's Rabbi Yishmael, again, we're going to see this later on in Kuf Chaf Dalid. Ha'amar lo mevatel ar. Rabbi Yishmael holds that ultimately, again, the alal is not bottled to the hide. V'yali with Rabbi Akiva, pshita, ha'amar mevatel ar. And if it's Rabbi Akiva, but we're going to see this in Mishnah later on. Rabbi Akiva holds that halacha lemaisa, the flesh is bottled to the hide. So which one is it, Rabbi Yishmael? To which the Gemara says, the olam ali with Rabbi Yishmael. In reality, this reflects the view of Rabbi Yishmael. V'chi am Rabbi Yishmael lo mevatel ar. When did Rabbi Yishmael say that the alal is not bottled to the hide? Hani mili shepal taso chaya. That's talking about where the animal was bitten by another animal, and as a result, a chunk, the predatory animal, took a bite out of the other animal, separating some of the flesh together with the hide. That's when Rabbi Yishmael will say, that's not bottled. That's not bottled. Also, when we saw this yesterday, there's also the possibility of regeneration over there. That's not bottle. Ava paltaso, sakin bottle. But ultimately, again, when flaying the animal and flesh detaches with the hide, that flesh ultimately, again, will be bottle. Tashma, Rabbi Yehuda says, ha'alal ha'mechunas, if there is alal, if there is collected alal, imish kezayis makom echad chayav and alav, if there's a kezayis of alal in one place, then you'll be chayav. So when we say chayav, meaning it's nevela, therefore subject to tumas nevela. That's only if you collected it in one place. So iamrit b'shlama paltaso sakin Rabbi Yishmael nami lo batal. So we'll say if you hold that according to Rabbi Yishmael, ultimately again, if you hold that according to Rabbi Yishmael, that paltaso sakin, that even when they were talking about hide which was detached by a knife and therefore pieces of flesh came along with that, that according to Rabbi Yishmael, that's also not bottled to the hide, then Rav Huna darmak Rabbi Yishmael. Rav Huna will hold like Rabbi Yishmael. However, Eli'i amrit paltaso sakin Rabbi Yishmael bottle. But if you hold that in the case of where the flesh detaches with the hide, that ultimately according to Rabbi Shua that is bottle to the hide, then Rav Huna damar kiman. Who does Rav Huna hold like? Ela li olam paltaso sakin Rabbi Shmuel lo bottle. Rather, you have to say as follows. The case of paltaso sakin according to Rabbi Shmuel, that flesh is not bottle to the hide. Rav Huna damar Rabbi Akiva. And Rav Huna holds like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva ultimately holds that it is bottle to the hide. So pshita. Okay, so that's obvious. Maudetema. Kikam Rabbi Akiva hani midi paltaso sakin. When does Rabbi Akiva hold this way? That's only in the case of paltaso sakin. Ava paltaso chaya lo bottle. But maybe in the case where the animal was bitten by another animal and as a result some of its flesh was detached with its hide, Rabbi Akiva would say that it's not bottle, to which the Gemara says, Kamashmalan, that that's not the case. Kamashmalan, at the time of Rabbi Akiva, Mipnesha or Mevatlan. So both say Rabbi Akiva Shita is that when you have flesh attached to hide, that flesh is always bottle to the hide. Loshna Palat Chaya, Loshna Palat Sakin. In Rabbi Akiva's model, makes no difference if the flesh was detached. If the flesh is attached to the hide because of the fling or because it was bitten by another animal, either way, flesh attached to hide is bottled to the hide. Now, both just understand, we're going to see the relevance of that in the next Mishnah. Hide is not susceptible to Tumas Nevela. So therefore, again, Rabbi Akiva's model, whenever you have flesh attached to hide, that flesh is not capable of becoming tummy with Tumas Nevela. Kidik Tani Seifa. Mipnei ma Rabbi Akiva mitar ba'ar. Why is it that Rabbi Akiva is mitar? The flesh that is attached to the hide. Mipnei sha'ar mevatlan. Because Rabbi Akiva's model, ultimately, again, any flesh attached to the hide becomes bottle to the hide. The hide, what does it mean because bottle to the hide? The hide is incapable, ultimately, again, of contracting tumas nevela, and therefore any flesh attached to the hide becomes secondary to the hide itself. Good. We'll say along those same lines. Mishnah on Kufchaf Beis and Aleph. Elu she'orosein kibsaran. We'll say the following is a list of situations where the skin or the hide is treated like flesh. The Rabbos say, so understand what that means. What that means is that the hide is mekabel tumas nevela just like the flesh. Okay, here we go. Number one, or ha'adam. Human flesh. Human flesh has the same, right? Human skin has the same status, ultimately, again, as human basar. Va'ar chazer, ultimately, again, the flesh of a chazer. But this is or chazer shal yishuv. So apparently, Rabbi Abosai, in the olam of chazers, right, chazerim, so ultimately, again, there is a domesticated chazer. That's chazer shal yishuv. There's a lot of these running around, right? These, right? You can find these all over the place, right? So we'll say, so a domesticated chazer. So we'll say, so domestic, or chazer shal yishuv. Rabbi Huda Omer, af or chazer havar. Rabbi Huda says, no, even a non-domestic chazer, right? Havar literally means like of the desert or of the forest. Even a non-domesticated chazer. V'or chateres shal gamal haraka. And Abba said, this is actually very interesting. As well as the hide of a tender camel around its hump. So we'll say, so we're going to define these terms, but the flesh of a tender camel around its hump. Va'or harosh shal egel harach. Similarly again, if you have a tender calf, that the flesh around its head is also has the status of flesh. The hide around its head has the status of flesh. Va'or haprasos. Now we'll say what this sounds like is the flesh, the hide around the hooves. We'll discuss it again. V'ar beis haboshes. Ultimately, again, the hide around the genital area of a female animal will also have the status of flesh. V'ar hashalil, the skin of a baby in utero. This is of an animal. Ultimately, also has the status of flesh. V'ar shaltachas ha'alya, the hide underneath the tail, also has the status of flesh. Va'or ha'anaka, va'koach, va'alta, va'chomet. So we'll say, these are all shrutzim. These are all shrutzim, as we're going to see. Right? So the hide, we're not going to define them right now, but the hide of the anaka, the koach, va'alta, and the chomet. These are all different types of shrutzim. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Huda Omer, halta k'chulda. Rabbi Yehuda says the halta ultimately again is like the chulda, like the weasel. The chulan sha'avdan o shehilech pan kadeabo the tarn. Rabbi Yehuda says, here's what's interesting. So this is a list of all of the hides that are like flesh. That are like flesh, or like busser. Rabbi Yehuda says, which tells you, by the way, if these are being singled out, what it does tell you is the majority of hides are not like flesh. Right? Remember again, just to point out, that was the assumption we were working with up until this point. That a hide is not like the basar, and therefore again is not makabel tumas nevelus. Now the Mishnah is telling me a list of hides that are like flesh, and therefore again subject to tumas nevela. So the Gemara says, however, the kulan sha'abdan o shehelech pan kedeaboda tahorim. We'll say, interestingly enough, any of these hides, if you were to take them and ultimately tan them, or hilech, but I will say one of the ways they used to tan hides is you would place it on the floor and people would walk back and forth on it. Once you do that, by oshehilech ben kedei avoda, you walk on it enough to tan it, tahorin. All of these hides, even though the Mishnah just said they're treated like flesh, once you begin the process ultimately again of tanning them, ultimately they lose their status of flesh, become kulo hide, and therefore not subject ultimately again to tumas nevela. Chutz me'ar ha'adam, with the exception of human flesh. Apparently human flesh never loses its designation as basar. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, Shmona Shratzim Yeshlan Ora. So I'm sorry, by the way, the halta, the chulda, the list before of the anaka koach halta and chomet are reptiles. Reptiles, not shrats. I mean, we'll define our terms in just a little bit. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says the shmona shratzim, the eight shratzim, yesh lahen oros. Ultimately, again, their hide has the status of a hide, not a flesh, and therefore again does not contract toma. Says the Gemara. Here we go. Amar Ula, Dvar Torah midaraisa or Adam Tar. What's actually very interesting. Midaraisa, human flesh, human skin. Can't call it hide, right? But the skin of a person midaraisa is tahar. Aye, but why would the rabbanon goes around it? Umatam amru tame. Why would the rabbis goes around? It's actually quite amazing. So gzera shemeyasa adam olos aviv viimo shtichin. There was a concern about that what would happen? People would take the skin of their parents and go ahead and make it a spread. Right? A spread for a table, a spread for a chair. We'll say, what does that mean? So obviously, if Chazal were concerned about this, this was done. That in some way to memorialize one's parents, so I guess you made them into a tablecloth. Or into mom and dad join us for every meal. You know, whatever it is. Or, you know, something else. So Chazal apparently were concerned. Again, I just want to be clear. Slime the Gemara comes along and thinks this stuff up. When you see something like that, that means this was done. This was absolutely done. Somehow people took the skin of loved ones and did something with it in order to memorialize them. So Chazal were concerned that Jews would do that as well. And therefore, again, it said that the skin ultimately, again, is metame. We'll say others have an alternate version of this according to the Seifa. The chulon she'ibdan ho she'hilich pon kedei avoda torn chutz me'ar ha'adam. I will say others frame this conversation about human skin on the Seifa. What do the Seifa say? Once you take any of these hides, these aforementioned hides, which are normally treated like flesh, and you begin to tan them, everyone agrees that at that point in time they lose their status of flesh and they become hide. Except for Chutz Mi'ara Adam. Amr Ula said, Devar Torah, both say first wide line, Kuf Chaf Beis and Aleph, Devar Torah, or Adam Sha'avdu Tahar. So we'll say Ula says the midda'araisa. So once you go ahead and you tan human skin, ultimately it becomes tar. It becomes tar. Umatam amrutame. So why did the rabbis come along and say that ultimately, again, even if you tan human skin, it still retains the status of basar? Gzeira shemaya sa'adam oros aviv v'imo shtichin. Out of a concern that one would come to utilize the skin of their parent for some type of purpose. So man demas nilareisha kol shekina seifa. So both like the first version certainly subscribes to the second version. Uman demas nia seifa avalareisha tumudareisha. Both say the one who says it by the seifa ultimately, again, he would say that by the Reisha, he would disagree with the first assertion of the Reisha and say that no, actually, human skin is metame midoraisa. Human skin is metame midoraisa like basar. The dirabanan is really midoraisa. Once you tan human skin, it should lose its status of basar. Midirabanan, ultimately, again, the rabbi said no, it retains its tumah even after it's been tanned, lest one come to use the skin for some other purpose. Good. V'ar chazer. So also remember, again, we saw machlokis in the Mishnah about the hide of a chazer. So remember, first opinion said that it's only a domestic chazer. Second said even wild chazer, even wild chazer hide has the status of basar. We'll say, what are they arguing about? Mar savar hai ashun v'hai rachich umar savar nami hai rachich. We'll say, just understand that in the discussion of the Mishnah about these types of hides that are treated like flesh, what's the determinant? These specific items mentioned over here, their hides are soft. See, both say there's a very simple reason why normally hide is not treated like basar. What's the reason? Because it's tough. Because it's inedible. That's the basic logic. The common denominator amongst the items mentioned here in the Mishnah is that they have soft hides. Because they have soft hides, therefore technically they are edible. So the Gemara says as follows. So the Gemara therefore says that halacha lemaisa, there's a metzias machlokes about the hide ultimately of a non-domestic chaser. One opinion says the hide is soft enough to be edible, therefore like basar. One opinion said the hide is not soft enough to be edible, therefore is not like basar. Next. Or chateres shal gamal harakas. Remember again, if you have a tender camel, so the skin around its hump, ultimately again it's treated like basar. Vikama gamal harakas. I will say, what is the age of a tender camel? Amar Ula, Amar Bishua ben Levi, Kozman Shalotana. As long as the camel has not carried a load, it's considered to be quote unquote rakh. It's tender. It's tender. I guess also, which makes sense, I guess it's the carrying of the load which toughens up the hide. So as long as it has not yet gone ahead and carried a load, therefore the flesh around the hump, or I should say the hide around the hump, is considered to be soft, therefore, quote unquote, somewhat edible, and therefore like basar. So the Marseille by Rabbi Yirmiyah, he gives mano liton velotana mahu. So Rabbi Yirmiyah asks, well, what happens if the camel is old enough to carry a load, but just has not done so? Is reaching the age, load-bearing age, right? Is that enough to go ahead and transform the hide into hide away from basar or not? So by Abaye, lo igiyaz mano liton v'tana mahu. So Abaye, it's a different question. What happens if the animal is not of load-bearing age, but you put a load on it anyway? So does that change the status of the hide around the humps? And I will say to both of these questions, the Gemara says, teku. Good. The Gemara goes weiter. Yossi Reish Lakish Kami Bailey. Let's listen to this. Kamalaraka. So we'll say Reish Lakish was sitting, and he asked the following question. How old is a tender camel? Right? What's the age? What's the ceiling for a tender camel? Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Abba Hachi, Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi, Kozman Shelo Tana. So Rabbi Shmuel says, as long as the camel has not carried a load, it is tender. Amar Lei, Tiv Lekabli. So Reish Lakish says, why don't you come and sit down next to me? So I say Reish Lakish was very happy with the answer that Rabbi Yishmael gave him, so he invited him to come sit next to him. Let's listen to this. Yasid Rabbi Zira v'kami b'ayle. Similarly, again, another story, Rabbi Zira was sitting, and he asked the following, v'kami b'ayle, kama gamal araka, how old is a tender camel? Amarli Rabbin Barchinina, Haki Amar Ulu Amar Rabbi Yishmael ben Levi, Kozman Shalotana. So we'll say, Sir Rabbin Bar Chinana said, Nehmer Rabbi Yishmael ben Levi, as long as the animal has not carried a load, not carried a burden, ultimately, again, it is a young camel. So we'll say, so now, Rabbin answered this question. Rabbi Zera did not acknowledge the answer. Rabbin thought that Rabbi Zera didn't hear him. So what did he do? Hava katani la. He said it again. So Rabbin said again, the age of a young camel ultimately is that it has not gone, or of tender camels, that has not carried a burden. Amar Lei. So Rabbi says, so this is amazing. So Rabbi Zera says, Chada havi lecha amrut. What are you? Like a one trick wonder? I heard you. I heard you the first time. Right? It's actually like a little bit sharp. It's like, well, you have one good thing to say, so you keep on repeating it over and over and over. One halacha over and over and over. Shabbos says, so now watch this. The Gemara says, Tachazi, look at the difference. Ma be tikife arad Yisrael lechaside de bavel. Look at the difference over here between ultimately, again, the strong Talmidei Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael and the pious ones of Bavel. Rabbi Yosef Reish Lakish was the Kifei Arad Yisrael, and Rabbi Zera was the Chassidei de Bavel. Look at Rashi says. If you take a look, I will say, Rashi says, Reish Lakish mitakifei da'arad Yisrael hava. Reish Lakish was amongst the strongest Talmidei Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael. Kedarmina parakama diyoma, umad mishra Reish Lakish v'hadei havias, fine, skip a little bit, right? And yet, remember again, Reish Lakish, when Rabbi Shmuel gave him an answer, ultimately, again, he said, come sit next to me. He treated him with derech eretz. He treated him with kavod. So Rabbi Zera demi Bavel salak lacha. Rabbi Zera ultimately again was from Bavel. And what happens when he's given this answer? What happens? Rashi says, it's a very dramatic gemara over here. See the difference between the Talmidei Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael and the Talmidei Chachamim of Bavel. The Talmidei Chachamim of Bavel may possess an incredible amount of knowledge, but apparently, again, were not as good with their midos as ultimately, again, the Talmidei Chachamim, ultimately, again, of Eretz Yisrael. We'll say an incredible idea of the difference is you could learn Torah anywhere. You could learn Torah anywhere. But there's something about the Kiddush of Eretz Yisrael that gives the Neshama a little bit more of a polished finish that cannot be found ultimately in other areas in this world, even in the greatest yeshivas of other places. Eretz Yisrael endows the neshama with a quality that can only be found in Eretz Yisrael. Incredible. Va'or harosh. We'll say next. Remember again, the head of a tender calf. Says the Gemara, v'kama egel arach. And I will say again, how old is a tender camel? So the Gemara says, Ula Amar ben shna. So Ula says 1 year old. Rabbi Yochanan Amar calls man sheyonek. Rabbi Yochanan says, as long as the calf is nursing, it's considered tender. Ibailuhu, heichi ka'amar Ula ben shnasa v'hu sheyonek. So we'll say, when Ula says 1 year old, is Ula saying 1 year old and nursing on the base? V'amali Rabbi Yochanan calls man sheyonek, and Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it doesn't matter if the animal is 1 year old or 2 years old, as long as the animal is nursing, it's considered to be tender. Oh, Dilma Ula ben Shnosa kamar ben Yonik ben Shena Yonik, or maybe Ula's coming along and saying, right, the definition of a tender calf is what? Whether the animal is nursing or not. Va'amali Rabbi Yochanan ben Shnosa v'hushi Yonik. And Rabbi Yochanan is saying, no, the definition of a tender animal is that it's 1 year old and nursing. Tashma, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kolzman Shiyonik. Rabbi Yochanan says, as long as the animal is nursing. V'im Isa, and if he really wanted to say otherwise, it should have said, V'hushi Yonik mi baile. Shmamina. Indeed, see from this Abosai, that ultimately, again, the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan is that as long as the animal is nursing, even if it is older than 1 year, the animal is considered to be rach. The animal is considered to be tender. So we'll say, so for the fundamental machlokes in Rabbi Yochanan and Ula, is that Ula says the definition of a tender animal, of a tender calf, is 1 year old. Rabbi Yochanan is saying nursing. The nafkamina, if the animal is nursing in 2 years old, according to Rabbi Yochanan, ultimately, again, this will still be a tender calf, and therefore, again, the height of its head will be considered like basar. According to Ula, once you age out past 1 year, halacha lemaase, you no longer have the designation of a tender calf. We'll say next case. Reish Lakish asks Rabbi Yochanan, Or harosh shel egel harach, ma'u shiyitame. So we'll say next case. Reish Lakish asks Rabbi Yochanan, what is the status of the R of the hide of the head of a tender calf? Mahu sheyitma. Ultimately, again, I will say, does it go ahead and convey or contract tumas nevei? Does it become tame like the basar? Amar lei, eino mitame. He said to him, it does not contract tuma. Amar lei, the Maratan Rabbeinu, Eilu Sha'orosein Kibsaran, Va'ar Harosh Shal Egel Harach. But 1 second, we just learned in the Mishnah that what? We just learned in the Mishnah. Rabbi, you taught us in the Mishnah that this is a list, ultimately again, of animals whose Orosein are Kibsaran, whose hides are like their flesh, and ultimately again included in that list of Osei was what? Was the Ar Rosh HaEgel, was the hide of the head of the tender calf. So how can you tell me now that the hide of the head of a tender calf is not treated like its basar? When Rebbe, you taught us in the Mishnah that it was. Amarle altak mitaini. Don't bother me. Don't bother me. I'll say, which means, no, what does it mean, don't bother me? It means, trip me up. Is that the word? Trip me up?
Yeah.
Good. Don't try to entrap me in this. B'lashon yachid ani shonosa. And we'll say, that Mishnah is not reflective of a majority view. That Mishnah is reflective of a singular view. See, Abbas, this was very interesting. We read the Mishnah, you know, so when, again, remember, when we see a Mishnah without machlokes, so we assume that it is the majority view. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan, and says, in fact, the Mishnah is reflective not of a majority view, but rather of an individual view. It's a das yochid. How do we know? So we'll say, here we go. So listen to this interesting case. If one goes ahead and shechts an ola, shechting a carbon, lahaktir kizayis me'or shetachas ha'alya, chutlim komo. And I will say, when I shecht the animal, I have in mind that I'm going to take a kizayis from the hide underneath the tail. And I'm going to go ahead and burn it outside of the prescribed area. So I will say, puzzle, this invalidates the carbon, ve'in bo kares. But I'm not subject to karis. Chut lizmano, if I have in mind that I'm going to consume it outside of its appropriate time. Pigul, this makes the carbon pigul. The chayov and alav karis. And ultimately, again, you will be chayiv karis ultimately for this pigul. Elazar ben Yehuda ish avlu somer, mishum Rabbi Yaakov. So we'll say Elazar ben Yehuda ish avlu, right, and it says the name of Rabbi Yaakov, v'chein hayar b'shem ben Yehuda ish kfar ikum, omer mishum Rabbi Shimon. Echad or prasos, the echad or harosh shall egal harach. So we'll say. So the point over here to take notice of is this is one person, right? This is Elazar ben Yehuda ish Avlum, who says the name of Rabbi Yaakov, who says the name of Shimon Yehuda ish, right, says the name of Rabbi Shimon. Whether it is the or prasos, the hide of the hooves, the hide or echad or rosh shall egal harach, or the head, the hide of the head of a tender calf, ve'echad or shetachas sa'alya, or the hide underneath the tail, v'chol shamanu chachamim gabi tuma, sha'orosein kibsaran, or for that matter, again, any of the situations where Chazal said that the hide is like the flesh, legabi hilchos tuma, lahavi or shal beis haboshes, this comes to include ultimately the hide by the beis haboshes, the halach is also, if you had in mind by any of these pieces of hide, chutz limkomo, to go ahead and consume it outside of its appropriate place, pasul vein bo kares. The carbon will be pasul, but it is not subject to kares. Chutz lizmano, but halacha lemaaseh, if you have in mind to go ahead and consume it outside of the prescribed time, pigul v'chayav and alav kares. So we'll say, but what's the point for us? The point for us, we'll say, is you see that what? See, this second opinion that ultimately, again, goes ahead and counts the hide of the head of the tender calf as basar is what? A das yachid. It's a singular opinion. Even though the Mishnah makes it sound like everyone is on board with this, in fact, that is not true. It is a singular opinion. And I will say, that is why, when Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, what is the status of the Ar HaRosh Shal Egel HaRach? Does it become Tameh with Tumas Naveila? So ultimately, again, Rabbi Yochanan responded, no. Rabbi Yochanan responded, no. Rabbi Yochanan said, that hide does not have the status of basar, rather it has the status of hide, and therefore is not makabel tumas nadela. I, Reish Lakish, says, Rebbe, you taught us the Mishnah, to which Rabbi Yochanan says, the Mishnah is a das yachid. The Mishnah reflects the view of one opinion, does not reflect the majority opinion. Beautiful. Var besapra, so we'll say next. So remember again, the next type of hide that has the status of basar, which conveys tumah, is the ar besaprasos. So says the Gemara, my base aprasos. Now, what does that mean? So we'll say, remember again, what's unique about, so let's see. Rav Amar Rav says, base aprasos mamish. It literally means the flesh that is on top of the hoofs. Rashi says, it will say, it's Rashi almost right across. Ar aprasos mamish, velo ar sha'al etzem hashok mina kursayim adar guba. So we'll say, so it literally means some type of fleshy part by the hoof itself. Mamish has the status, ultimately, again, of basar, and therefore is makabel tumas nevela. Rabbi Chanina Amar, Rabbi Chanina says, no, it does not refer to the flesh by the hooves. And Rabbi say, why not? This is actually very interesting, because remember, we've seen a number of different times that halacha lemaisa, the hooves generally don't have the status of basar. So remember again, there is some flesh by the hooves. That's what the Gemara is suggesting, possibility one, that has the status of basar. Possibility two, Rabbi Chanina says, rekuva hanim keres in harosh. He actually says, Rabbi say, it refers to something else. Arbeis HaProsos refers to the part of the leg from the lower joint all the way down. That piece is usually sold as a unit. The hide on that piece from the lower joint of the leg to the bottom of the leg, apparently again, is softer, and therefore Halacha Lamaisa, according to our Mishnah, has the status of Basar. Good. Va'or Ha'anaka. So we'll say, remember again, the orha and the anaka is some type of sheres, and the Gemara says Tanur Abanon. So we'll say the pasuk says hatame. We had this before. The pasuk says Eila hatameim lachem b'chol sheres kolon ogea b'hem b'mosam yitma ad ha'aras. So we'll say, so the pasuk by sheres says hatameim. So that hay is extra. So what does it come to include? The rabus orosin kibsaron. The pasuk comes to include ultimately what? It comes to tell us that the hide, right, the skin, I should say, of the sheretz, has the same status, ultimately, again, as the sheretz itself. Yochala filu kulon. I might have thought this comes to include all shratzim. Talmud lomar eila. Therefore, Bose, the pasuk says eila, and eila ultimately tells me only those mentioned in the immediately following pasuk, which are the shratzim mentioned in the Mishnah. I baha eila kuluk sivi, but the word eila goes on all of the shratzim. Amarav lemineu hifsik. Rav says, Rabosai, that the word lemineu, which is in the following pasuk, not in the following pasuk, his pasuk says, vizel lochem hatame basharetz asharetz ala aretz hacholed vaachbar vahatzav lemineu. That word lemineu divides up the shratzim into two distinct categories. What are the two distinct categories? Shratzim, whose skin is like their basar, and shratzim, whose skin is not like their basar. So the Gemara says, "Velech shov nami tinshemes." So we'll say, so why don't you include tinshemes, which is part of that list of, right in the Torah, is part of that list of shratzim, that now you are categorizing that their hide, their skin, is like their flesh. Om Rav Shlomo Bar Yitzchak, Rav Tanu v'tani tinshemes. Inachinami, Rav included tinshemes, ultimately in the list of shratzim mentioned in the Mishnah. I vahatana didan lo tani tinshemes. But one second, our Tana did not include tinshemes in the Mishnah. Amar Rav Sheshes Reid Rav Idi Tana didan sarvalak Rav Yehuda the azul basar gishta or begishta dal ta kamefligi. But say our Tana goes like Rav Yehuda. It's actually very interesting. But saying what does Rav Yehuda hold? Rav Yehuda holds that halacha lemaisa when determining if the hide is considered like flesh. We look at one thing, Rabbi, we'll say gishta. Gishta means texture. Texture. So we'll say that's actually quite interesting. Our Mishnah is not really basing its categorical definitions on psukim. Our Mishnah is basing its categorical definitions on metzias. If the hide has a soft texture, then what? And is, I guess, technically edible on some level, then it has the status of basar. If halacha lemaisa, it is not soft, therefore again, the texture is rough, therefore again, we'll say halacha lemaisa, it will not have the status of basar, but rather the status of hide, which is not mekabel tumah. All right, we'll stop over here. I'm going to share with you an idea on the parasha.